ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that on one's 250th birthday, there should be a celebration. I'm Claire Nichols, and on The Book Show, we're raising our teacups to Jane Austen.
Why Austen? What is it about her?
Authors Colm Tobin, Karen Joy Fowler, and more will explore why, in 2025, the Austen effect is bigger than ever.
That's quite incredible.
Search for The Book Show and look for Dear Jane wherever you get your podcasts, or hear it now on the ABC Listen app.
How do you feel about going to the dentist, Norman?
I haven't been for a while, I'm ashamed to say.
Why haven't you?
But, you know, I do get anxious going to a dentist I don't know.
I do too.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
That they can do a nerve block well.
I do not like going to the dentist. I am up to date with my dental check-in, and I took the kids and myself. I wanted to get it done by the time 2026 came around. I don't like it, Norman, the scratching around. It's a very vulnerable position. Lying back with your mouth open is just not for me with sharp utensils.
With a one-way conversationalist.
Yeah, that's right. I don't get to talk, and we know that I love that.
So I'm glad there are dentists. I'm glad there are people who want to become a dentist, but you know, I'm sure that lots of people are lying there thinking about, you know, why would somebody want to do this job apart from the money? So we're going to find that out later, because Shelby Traynor, our producer, has wondered exactly the same thing, and she went to dental school for a day.
She did. That is coming up on The Health Report. I'm Priya Alexander on Wurundjeri land.
And I'm Norman Swan on the lands of the Nakuchank and Piscataway people.
And where is that? Because it's not ringing any bells for me.
Well, it's not on the Australian continent. These are the traditional owners of Washington, D.C., which is where I am.
Miles away.
Miles away.
Miles and miles.
Also on the show, data which suggests that CT scans, CAT scans, could be responsible for up to 5% of new cancer diagnoses annually if current practices don't change. But of course, there are important caveats, aren't there always?
Aren't there always? And this is one of my conundrums. Sometimes you absolutely need a CT scan, but the benefits must outweigh the risks. Psoriasis is fairly common. It's an autoimmune condition that shows up as itchy, dry, and sore skin, but it's deeper than the skin that's affected. In the news, vitamin B6 has likely been in everybody's newsfeed again this week, and that is because the Therapeutic Goods Administration has decided to take action on something that we've spoken about previously on the show. Vitamin B6 toxicity, which is people are often taking more vitamin B6 than what they realise. It's often in multiple supplements, and it can have significant side effects, including peripheral neuropathy. So it can impact those nerves outside of the spinal cord. You can get numbness, tingling, and in some cases, even if you stop the B6, the symptoms can persist. It might be irreversible.
And it's in all sorts of products. It's not just in supplements you might buy in the pharmacy. It might be in a food supplement that you could be taking. Mm. So the TGA decision, we'll tell you what the decision is and then I'll tell you why I'm gobsmacked about it. So they'll still allow the sale of products with less than, with 50 milligrams of less in them for general retail sale.
But in the daily dose, it's worth pointing out. So the daily dose has to be 50 milligrams or less, yep.
And products containing between 50 and 200 milligrams are available over the counter. So in other words, they're kind of behind the counter and you need the advice of a pharmacist. And if it's more than 200 milligrams per day, you're going to need a prescription. And of course, not that many people need vitamin B6. You can get it from the diet. But here's the gobsmacking thing, which I fail to understand. You know, our lightning action from the TGA, this doesn't come in until the 1st of June 2027. So if you really want to have a peripheral neuropathy, you can go right ahead until the 1st of June 2027. Why or why does it take so long?
Well, they've actually said, and it's because they're trying to give the industry time to prepare.
Stuff that is my
view.
Well,
I agree with you. But we've talked about this before on the show. I just think the regulation of supplements is baffling. Like, you're gobsmacked about the deadline of June 2027. I just think I can't believe the claims that supplements can make that are unfounded and unproven and they can get away with it and it's sold in pharmacies and online. I just had a patient tell me this week what they were taking for their ADHD, which lacks evidence completely. And I thought, I can't believe this is allowed to be sold. The regulation of supplements is baffling to me.
Well, there's regulation on paper, but the TGA doesn't necessarily police it unless there's a complaint. So you can make a complaint. If you are looking at labels and wanting to see if there's vitamin B6 in there prior to the 1st of June 2027, it's not just called vitamin B6. There are other names for it, pyridoxine, pyridoxamine, and pyridoxal. So just be a little bit careful when you're buying supplements as to what is in them. And if there's B6, probably just leave it there. Go and have a nice Mediterranean rainbow meal, as Priya would say.
You're merging us together. But also, we do bang on about this as well, but you don't. Most people don't need a supplement. So Norman and I don't take anything extra. We share this offline, don't we? I'm not taking anything. Are you?
I'm not. No. Okay. I'm not. There was no hesitation. So I shouldn't have been hesitation there. I am not taking anything. Look, there are a very small number of medical conditions where you need vitamin B6, but that's it.
Yes. Always exceptions to everything. If you're planning a pregnancy or you're deficient in something, you need supplements. Most of us don't. Also back in the news, H5N1, which is bird flu, that's that strain of influenza A virus, has now been detected in an Australian territory, Heard Island.
Yeah, 4,000 kilometres southwest of Perth, so it's not exactly on mainland Australia yet. Why are we worried about this? This is the one that they're worried could be the next pandemic of flu, because it's got high mortality rates when it does infect humans, but it's not spread human to human. At the moment, it's animal to human. And so we've got to keep an eye on this, and we've been expecting for a while for it to land on Australian shores. It has landed on Australian shores, but not too close to probably anybody listening.
And people might be wondering, well, how has it been detected on this remote island? Because a population of elephant seals had died on the island, and so they were tested, and that's how this was detected. So this has, of course, health impacts. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Do we have vaccines if this does come to the mainland, if there's human-to-human transmission? But also this is going to have impacts for nature as well and for animals. And so certainly something to be aware of.
And very briefly, the Breast Cancer Network Australia, which is a consumer-based organisation representing the interests of women and men with breast cancer, has released really quite astounding findings of the number of people living with breast cancer that spread.
Metastatic breast cancer, yeah.
And it's nearly 21,000 Australians, so about 20,800 women and about 150 men living with breast cancer that's spread.
And the thing that's significant, I think, is that it's been underestimated previously. So they thought it's double the previous estimations, and this impacts funding and supports for these patients who often have really complex care needs.
They have complex care needs, the psychological impact of having that, and the treatment of breast cancer that's spread. We've got a lot of research that goes into the first-line therapies when you've initially got the cancer, and breast cancer probably represents the most sophisticated advanced treatment of any cancer at the moment. And they're getting remarkable results. And they're also getting remarkable results with cancer that's spread, such that in many women it's become almost like a chronic disease where they can live for many, many years with cancer that's spread. But we still don't know a lot about why cancer spreads, how to prevent it, and how to treat it effectively. Because what oncologists say is that once you've got cancer that's spread, it's very hard to achieve a cure. The time you achieve a cure is at first pass, when you're first diagnosed. And we simply don't know enough about metastatic cancer of any kind to say, well, we actually can cure that, and we can't yet.
But hopefully this is a push in the right direction.